you're taking notes today, you can write this down, the title of our conversation. We're going to stay in this theme of He is. Pastor Sharon reminded us in Devoted, He is here. That is the most important fact of this morning, that God is here. Last week, we were reminded from God's word that before God is anything, He is holy. Can I get an amen? Amen. He is holy. If you could boil God down into one word, He is holy. Before He is love, He is holy. His love is a holy love. His grace is a holy grace. His judgment is a holy judgment. Can I get an amen? Today, I want to remind us of this, something the enemy tries to lie to God's people so often is this. He is caring. He is caring. God cares for you. If you want a second title, always have a subtitle for you. You can write this down. I can't do this anymore. As I was praying early this morning, I didn't wake up early on purpose, but I decided to pray since I woke up, and the Holy Spirit told me that there would be somebody here today, and this phrase, you have said to yourself, I can't do this anymore, and what you have meant by that is you can't do this life anymore. And it's not even, this is what I believe the Holy Spirit told me, it's not even that you've lost the will to live, it's that you don't know how. How do I keep living with this over me? Well, I've got good news, friends. God is here today, and He knows who you are. And whatever that thing is, God can take that from you. And in exchange, He's got grace. Can I get an amen? 1 Peter 5 says this. It's what we're looking at today from God's word. Humble yourselves. Turn to your neighbor, say, humble yourself. You're next to your spouse, be careful. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble yourselves, therefore, where? Under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up. That He may lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, where? Under God's mighty hand. So what? So that He may lift you up. When? In due time. Then we get to verse 7. Cast all, not some, not most of, all your anxiety. Where? On Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Today, we're going to talk about fear. We're going to talk about its ugly cousin, anxiety. And we aren't just going to talk about it. Today, I'm coming for it. I believe that fear and anxiety is going to flee this room today. These are two things that if they are undealt with, they can lead us to the dangerous place of saying something like, I can't do this anymore. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there today. I've got good news. You can't do this anymore alone. God is here. His family is here to surround you. And I want to say this, church, the only thing keeping you and I from the freedom today that is only found in Jesus, the only thing keeping you and I from it today, and I want to pause before I say it, if I could ask us to soften our hearts before I say it, the only thing keeping us from the freedom that is found in His presence today is pride. Why don't we pray? Jesus, we thank You for who You are. Holy Spirit of God, help me. Have mercy on me today. I need You. I humble myself before you. I can't do this without you. And God, we come before you as a church family. We acknowledge that we need you. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. God, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free today. I thank you that you know each and every single person in this room. You created them. You've got a plan and a purpose for them. God, speak, because we are listening. We need you, everybody said. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. Everybody give Jacob a hand. I don't know if anybody noticed the new guitar player on stage today. What great hair. Just envious in worship. You know, it's interesting how much the world offers help with things like anxiety. Much of the help that it offers is helpful. And I would also say this, much of that help comes from the wisdom of the Word of God. If you observe close enough, you will see that the world and science is simply catching up to the wisdom of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at God's Word. In 1 Peter 5, Peter, he's giving instruction to the church on how to operate in the midst of their suffering, their persecution, their alienation as the early church. And up until this verse that we just read in verse 5, he's reminding the elders their responsibility that God has entrusted to them. For lack of better words, Peter is reminding the older generation within the church the importance of the life that they continue to live. If you are here today, Pastor Robert, what's Caleb generation? What age and up? 55 and up. If you are here today and you are 55 and up, can I remind you that we need you? That the life that you live is more important than you realize. And the way that you continue to live your life, it matters. The faith that you live with, the legacy that you are leaving, it matters. We need you today. I don't know if Bob Clay's here. Bob, are you here? Right here. Bob Clay, I don't know how old you are. 88. I think about this verse, and I know that Peter would think about somebody like Bob. Say, be like Bob, who's 88 years old and has more faith than I do, has more fervency for the church than I do. I'm in a meeting almost every Thursday morning at 7:30 in the morning that Bob is a part of, and I watch and listen as Bob encourages and speaks faith. I want to be 88 years old, sitting in God's house full of faith. Can I get an amen? Be like Bob. Church, we need you. We need you. And then Peter reminds the younger generation the importance of submitting and following the lead of the next generation. And all of it, church, the effectiveness of our church, the effectiveness of our Christian life, the ability for God's power and grace to move in your life hinges on one thing. One thing, humility. Peter leaves no gray area. God makes it abundantly clear. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Church, I preach this today with deep conviction. This has been a season in my life where God has been pinpointing pride in my life. There's a scripture that I've been meditating on and ruminating. Psalm 63, it says this. I'm getting emotional because it convicts me. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. That convicts me because I don't always earnestly seek God. The Bible says, I thirst for you. That convicts me because I don't always thirst for God. The Bible says, my whole being longs for you. That convicts me because there are times in my life where my whole being does not long for him. I want my whole being to long for him. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, that is the world in which we live. And it is from this place of instruction and humility that Peter then gives instruction on anxiety. Make no mistake, Peter is given instruction on anxiety to a church and a people who are clearly carrying anxiousness in their minds, who are holding anxiety in their chest. This church would be tossing and turning in anxious thoughts in their sleep. And I want to suggest something that may feel uncomfortable at first, but I know it to be painfully true in my life. Pride is a seed of anxiety. Yes. Yes, it is. It is not the only seed, but it is a seed. Now, I want to make abundantly clear, since we're talking about anxiety, when someone is in the middle of a breakdown, in the middle of spiraling, the phrase, just have more faith, does not help. I know you're having a panic attack, but just trust God. Now, it is true, we always need more faith. And yes, Jesus is the great physician, and he also made us in his image. And he also made great doctors with great minds. When I ruptured my Achilles in 2018, when I used to be an athlete, can I get an amen? When I ruptured my Achilles 2 minutes into a basketball game of which I scored 0 points, when I realized that my Achilles was torn, I began with the help of a friend to hop to my car, and someone stopped me to pray, which I was thankful for. Why not believe for a miracle? I don't have time for this. God didn't choose to heal me instantly in that moment, and I'm thankful that while I was in agonizing pain, nobody said, Josh, just have more faith. Don't go to a doctor. Just trust God. No, I trust God. And I went to a surgeon. Yes. Yes. I needed help. Amen. And I had surgery to reattach my broken Achilles. And then I had to heal and recover. Yes, you did. And so I went to physical therapy. Therapy. I had to learn how to use that leg again so I could play golf again. Can I get an amen? Amen. And rebuild that muscle again. Church, your mind is not excluded from needing help, healing, and sanctification. As disciples of Jesus, we learn through his word to renew our minds, to think differently. As a disciple of Jesus, we learn to think differently. We learn to take captive every thought and bring it to obedience under Christ. And we also experience things in life that our minds were not designed or equipped to process and heal without help. When I ruptured my Achilles, I could not do physical therapy by myself. I needed a professional who knew what they were doing. And I'll say this as clearly as I can today, church. If you need help today, ask for help. Yes. We have pastors here today to pray and share the wisdom of the Word of God. We'll pray for you at the end of this service. We'll pray for you after the service. And beyond pastoral care, Christian counselors are an important gift. We have great counselors in our church, in our city. Sean Salzman, where are you? He's here today. Somebody told me he'd be in church, unless he lied to me. Pray for him. There he is. He's a Green Bay Packers fan. Don't judge him. Sean is a great counselor in our church. Danny Holland, great professional counselor in our church. You can go to our website. You'll see all the different counselors and places that we recommend. Because not all Christian counselors are good. Can I get an amen? I meet with a professional Christian counselor. Why? Because life is hard. Ministry life is hard, and I need help. I want to put up some resource that I believe will be helpful for many people in this room, some books that I've read that have blessed me that I think will bless you if you're struggling with anxiety today. The first book is called Redefining Anxiety by Dr. John Delaney. Another book called Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Rochelle. Another book called Blessed Are the Spiraling by Pastor Levi Lusco. And another one called Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. If you want, take a photo with your phone. You may be here today wondering, Josh, what do you know about anxiety? Well, church, like many in this room, I know the dark spaces that anxiety can strangle you into. 2 years ago, I found myself trying to carry things I thought I could carry myself. I tried to be strong alone, and inadvertently, I stopped depending on God for his strength. I found myself with an increasing anxiousness that I did not know what to do with. I prided myself in the ability to compartmentalize, and I was good at it. I was good at carrying and powering through, hear me, church, until I was not. And after months of anxiety starting to grip my mind and chest, I found myself in a meeting here in our church offices. And for the first time in my life, anxiety took over everything. And I collapsed in an office. I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought that I was dying. So I went to the hospital convinced that my heart was in need of medical intervention. And after tests, the sweet nurse tried to kindly ask and hint that maybe it was something else. She didn't say the words panic attack, but looking back, now I know that's what she was hinting, and I responded in anger and frustration, ma'am, I'm dying. I now know my body had been trying to warn me, and it reached the point of setting off the emergency alarm. Josh, you can't keep carrying this alone. And my nervous system shut down. I had a panic attack that terrified me that I still didn't know or was willing to admit was one. And so I still tried holding on. Over a year of anxiety coming and going, it was at this place that the enemy started to whisper with his lies. And while I was in a great church community, and while I am in a marriage that God has blessed me with a wife that is the greatest gift in the world, in pride, I kept this pain from both and from the help that I needed until I could not hide it anymore. And one night, I broke down in front of my wife. Church, you know what I found is if we don't humble ourselves, God in his mercy will help us be humbled. And I went to my pastors and said, I need help. The freedom that is found in humbly admitting I need help. I know the treacherous journey of climbing out of the hole of I can't do this anymore. And I'm very thankful for the professional help in my life, Dr. Don, who has listened to me and is guiding me through God's word, finding a sound mind again. I'm thankful for a wife who's prayed for me in my lowest moments, who has spoke life into my weary soul. I'm thankful for a wife, a woman of God, who has reminded me of the call of God on my life. I'm thankful for a wife, a woman of God, who has combated and rebuked the enemy over me. I'm thankful for a church community that, when we allow it to, can carry us and conquer any battle. I'm thankful for the friends in my life that as I sat down and shared with them, those who I trust with my life, and when I asked them to pray for me, to rebuke the enemy over my life, they went to war with me. And church, while there are some really practical, important things that I have changed in my life and I have dealt with in my thinking, this journey has been far more spiritual than I anticipated. The devil is a liar. And I stand here, yeah, amen. Can we give God a hand? The devil is a liar. Church, I stand here today in humility, still in progress. But what the enemy meant for evil, God will work for good. The peace of God is not a fairy tale, far off idea for those who think they deserve it. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. And I believe the peace of God is here today. It is here right now. Why? Because he is here. And I need to share with you today God's word that has saved the life of my mind. Because what I do know is that God is good. And what I do know is that when I am weak, he is strong. What I do know is that anxiety means something to everybody in this room. What I do know is that anxiety is a signal to pray. I've learned that. What I do know is that anxiety is the body warning that something is unsafe, whether that be true or untrue. And if not dealt with, anxiety can destroy the strongest of wills and the strongest of minds. And what I do know is that we are no match for anxiety alone. And while the devil's goal is to steal your soul, and while the devil's goal is to destroy your life, and while the devil's goal is to kill your purpose, he knows that if he can sow seeds of lies into your mind, and you start believing them, that we will destroy our lives all on our own. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I want to remind us of this today, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read it again. Humble yourselves. We're going to allow God's word to teach us today. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Church, before we can deal with our anxiety, we must first deal with our pride. We must first humble ourselves. The oxygen of anxiety is pride. Before I can do anything, I must humble myself. Before I can pick up my cross and follow Jesus, I humble myself. Before I can walk down to this altar and accept Christ and his grace, I humble myself. God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need you and I need your help and I need your holiness. And I need your grace, and I need your love, and I need your forgiveness, and I need your mercy. I humble myself. Before I can lead my home, I must humble myself. Before I can lead my wife, I must humble myself. Before I can serve my wife, before I can sacrifice for my wife, I must humble myself. Before I can father my children, I must humble myself. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I must humble myself. Before I go to work and do it to give him glory, I must humble myself. When I get home from work, and before I get out of my car and go back into my home to my family, I must humble myself. Before I lead my business, I must humble myself. Before I can deal with my anxiety, I must humble myself. Pride gets in the way of everything good God wants to do in my life. And then Peter shows us the location of and direction of our humility. Humble yourselves where? Under God's mighty hand. How do we humble ourselves? This word humble, it means to lower yourself. This is a verb. This is an action that we do. We lower ourselves. Where do we lower ourselves? Under God's mighty hand. This is the posture in which we as believers live. We are lower. Where? Under his mighty hand. For the early church, as Peter's speaking to, God's mighty hand was a picture of God's sovereignty and rule, his deliverance, his mighty hand that saves. When I humble myself under God's mighty hand, I acknowledge and I submit myself to God's rule and reign over my life. I let go of my will, and I let go of my wants, and I let go of my desires, and I let go of my sin, and I acknowledge, God, you are in control. God, help me. I acknowledge that you are higher, that you are Lord, that you are King, that I am your humble servant. And you are holy, and you are worthy of my praise, and you are worthy of my worship, and you are worthy of my heart. I lower myself under your mighty hand. Many of us, we've humbled ourselves next to God's mighty hand. Not under. We still want our way. I saw a pastor post this prayer recently. He called it the anti-Lord's prayer. I call it the prayer of pride. Sounds like this: myself, who is at the center, my name to be praised. My kingdom come, my will be done. Exactly how I want it is exactly how I want it. Give me today what I think I deserve: more comfort, success, control. Help me collect what I'm owed. Remind me of others' wrongs as I excuse my own. Lead me toward what is easiest and away from anything costly or inconvenient. Deliver me from limits, from sacrifice, from having to trust anyone but myself. This is convicting, church, because I've prayed this prayer. For mine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for as long as I can hold on to it. Amen. But may we be a church that lowers ourselves under his mighty hand. Today, God, we look to you. We lower ourselves under your hand, the only hand that can deliver us. And it is in this place of refuge, of humility, with this command, don't miss this, church, carries a life-altering promise. If we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, the Bible says he may lift you up. We live in a world where man has been trying to lift himself since the beginning of time. But the only way for man to truly be lifted up, truly be saved, is to lower himself. And it is when we humble ourselves that God lifts us up. This is the opposite of culture. I've got this. I'm awesome. I'm self-made. I did this. I don't need God. I'll lift myself up. I'll save myself. I'll deliver myself. And when man tries to lift itself, we find ourselves in the prison of pride, outside of God's power. Yet the gospel today calls us to lower ourselves, and he will lift you up. Church, he will lift you up. Humble yourself and he will save you. Humble yourself and he will deliver you. Humble yourself and he will care for you. Humble yourself and he will pick you up. Humble yourself and he will heal you. Humble yourself and he will carry you. Humble yourself and he will sustain you. Humble yourself and he will give you strength. Humble yourself and he will equip you. Humble yourself and he can bless you. Humble yourself and he can split the sea. Humble yourself and he can fight the battle for you. Humble yourself and he can lift you up. Amen. Peter makes an important distinction. He may lift you up in due time. His timing. This requires humility and faith. God, when and how you decide to lift me up is up to you. What is up to me is to remain lowered under your mighty hand. Some of us are anxious about the timing of God. God, when are you going to do this? Let God worry about that. He knows best. Humble yourself and let God do what he does best. Lift you up in his time. Here we go. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now we're ready to deal with anxiety. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This Greek word that Peter uses for anxiety here literally means a splitting of the mind. A divided mind that is in the constant state of chaos. Many of us know this today. In this constant state of chaos between will the bad happen or will the good? Or will the bad happen or the worse? And its fruit is a mind with no focus, that has lost concentration, and an internal division leaving us suspended between conflicting, battling thoughts, which ultimately distracts us from God. And this is what happens, church. We lose the ability to be present. Many of us know this anxiety today. Instead of a sound mind, we have a divided mind. Now, church, what Peter's pointing to here is a divided mind. There is a good worry. There is a healthy anxiety. When you find yourself in a dangerous situation and your body alarms you, that's God's design. Paul in the New Testament, the Bible says, had great concern and worry for the church. And there is a negative worry. There is an anxiety that cripples us in fear and helplessness. The distinction is how we respond. Will I try and solve this alone? Or will I give it to God? I would suggest that Peter is making this point. Anxiety stems from the unbelief and unwillingness to accept God's sovereignty and rule over my life. So it is my pride that so often fuels my anxiety. Because to surrender my burdens to somebody else, in our case, God, means I must admit that I can't do this myself. And then Peter says this word, cast. Cast all your anxiety on him. I don't know if there's any parents here that have dealt with toddlers that throw food. But all mine did. All three of my kids went through this stage where they threw their food. But my third, she's a monster. It was as if we were putting poison in her high chair that she had to remove in under 60 seconds. And church, she didn't just politely put the food off of the high chair. She would grab it and she would throw it. And she's funny. So I say, Palmer, you stop. And she would look at me. She would pause. And then she'd grab more food and slowly put her arm over the high chair. And with her little smile, because she knew that I'd laugh, she'd drop the food. And then she knew she had about 20 seconds before I would come over there and she would throw as much food off of that high chair. This is the picture that Peter is giving. This word cast does not mean to cast like a fishing line. It does not mean to hand over your anxiety politely. This word means violently throw your anxiety. Stop holding on to it. Throw it onto God. Give it to him. Allow him to carry what he never called you to carry. Peter says, cast all your anxiety, not some of it, not most of it, all of your anxiety, every concern, every care, every dark thought, all of it. Don't hold on to any of it. Throw it on God. Church, God can handle all of it. You can't. Throw it off. Throw it on him. Give it to him. This has been a season of my life. Every day I am casting, throwing my anxiety on him. When it wakes me up in the middle of the night, I throw it on him. When it interrupts me, I throw it on him. When it tries to pull me away from being present, I throw it on him. The call is constantly casting. And when we cast our cares, we start to see what's left behind. We discover our own attempts of dealing with our cares. Many of us today, we're feeding our anxiety and we don't even know. I wonder, what are you feeding today? When we start to cast our cares upon God, we are then revealed, oh, I was trying to deal with this in my way. What do I mean? There's many ways that humanity, we try to deal with our cares. Maybe here today and you're struggling with anxiety and you are constantly on social media. Friend, it is designed to fuel your anxiety. Some of us here today, we're struggling with anxiety and we don't realize that we're fueling it by what we watch. We wonder why we can't sleep and we're watching a horror movie before we go to bed. Some of us here today, we've been fueling this anxiety with hidden sin. We are playing with sin to numb the pain, only creating more pain. Friend, bring it into the light today. Some of us here today, we are dealing with our cares through drinking alcohol to numb the pain. And we're filling our body with an antidepressant and a depressant at the same time. We wonder why our nervous system is in chaos. Some of us here today, we are using pills to numb the pain, to deal with our cares. Some of us here today, we are using pornography to numb the pain, to deal with our cares. We are fueling our anxiety. Church, if you have a stronghold in your life today, hear me, shame off you. Guess what? You aren't alone. You aren't the only one in this room. This room is full of people who have been set free, in the process of being free, or about to be free. There is freedom in Christ here. Hear me today. There is freedom in Christ here. It starts at the altar, this altar in humility. For many, the pathway to healing and wholeness is a journey that happens every Tuesday night here. It's called regeneration. These are people that are humbly honest about a stronghold addiction in their life, and they are finding their pathway to freedom. Can I get an amen? Friend, hear me today. If you have a stronghold in addiction in your life, be here on Tuesday night. Find Chris Elliott, stand up really quickly. Find Pastor Chris Elliott, talk to him. It's gonna help you. Three practical things that the world will tell you that helps with anxiety that comes directly from God's word. I wanna say it today because I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to. Number one is this: nutrition matters. This is in God's word. Some of us are eating to soothe. Something else I want to encourage us with from God's word, one of the best things that we can do if you're struggling with anxiety, start to exercise. If you can work out, If you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. If you can get up out of that chair, get up out of that chair. God created you to move. God created your body, designed it as his temple. Another one is this, sleep. The world talks about it like it is this hidden treasure. God created you to sleep. Your sleep cycles were his design. I wonder, church, what are we consuming? Are you feeding your spirit or are you feeding anxiety? Feed yourself with the word of God. This season of my life that I've walked through, one of the benefits, it has driven me and lowered me to a dependence, a deep dependence in his word. Before we close, the most important part of this scripture, the band can come on up. Peter says, throw your anxiety on him, all of it. Why? Why can we do this, church? Because he cares for you. I would like to suggest that we don't understand the power of this truth, that Almighty Yahweh, Almighty God, the Holy Creator of the heavens and the earth, your Savior, he cares for you. He cares for every thought that you have, every ounce of anxiety. He cares about it. Every degree of pain that you feel, he cares. Every tear that you cry, he bottles. Every little thing that you are thinking, that you are struggling with, he cares. God cares about your burden more than you do. God cares about your pain more than you do. God cares about your anxiety more than you do. And he's the only one who can deal with it. His care encompasses everything. Your sin, your divorce, your addiction, your kids, your doubt, your suicidal thoughts, he cares. And the enemy comes to lie and says things like, don't give that to God. He doesn't care. Friend, he cares. He cares so much that he took your place on the cross. He cares so much that he took death and he conquered it because he cares. He cares about you, and his care has no boundary. There is nowhere that I can go and escape his love, his care, and his mercy. What am I trying to say? What is Peter showing us? That my anxiety starts to lose its grip as I understand that there is no heartache, no difficulty, no problem, no sin that exceeds God's ability. Our God is willing and able to carry any burden, forgive any sin, heal any hurt that I face. Church, God thinks about you. He's praying for you. He has plans for your soul to prosper. Why? Because he cares for you. God in his holiness, his sovereignty, he cares for you. And as I've grown in this understanding, the worriness begins to lose its hold. Because now I begin to understand I am on the mind of God. That I am his concern. And there is one thing that keeps me from his care. Pride.